The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, as we mentioned, basically the third rendition we got of Dame Time tonight, 18 points that he scored in the fourth quarter, 34 that he finished with for the game. And the thing is this, Damian Lillard is clearly still not there yet in terms of his efficiency. You look at the shooting splits for him and the shooting line that he had tonight, 10 of 25, 2 of 12 on threes, but he gets to the free throw line. He makes those free throws as he went 12 of 13 tonight, and this is the third time that we've seen him do this in the fourth quarter. 18 of them tonight when it looked as bleak as it could. We'll get to the Giannis ejection. We'll get to some of the defensive issues that we touched on throughout the broadcast as well, that there is one trend that continues to stand out at an alarming rate, and it's not going to get better anytime soon when you look at this schedule in front of the Bucks. But a win is a win. And I think that's the big thing, is we've tried to drive home, this is going to take time. This is going to be a lengthy process for this team to look like a team that you're more comfortable with and would say, yeah, that team should be viewed as one of the favorites or the favorite in the Eastern Conference. We are not there yet, but it's not to say that won't happen. It's just going to be a process. But if you can win and win ugly while you're figuring those things out, you can't complain with that. Because here we sit with the Bucks at 5-2 now this season. Boston Celtics are also 5-2. The Philadelphia 76ers are 6-1, and their only loss was against this Bucks team. So some of these games are not going to go your way, and these ugly wins are going to turn into ugly losses. That's just part of this game. But in the meantime, the Bucks are peeling off these wins, and I do think that matters for something, and that counts in the long run for a group that's still trying to learn not only a system offensively and defensively, but learn each other and try to bake some of this chemistry. If you can win while you're doing it, no matter how pretty it is, you don't need style points to win a game. That's what matters the most. And the Bucks are right now, they are doing that. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk as this team survives. And I was struck by some of the comments that Adrian Griffin had after the game, specifically about Giannis's ejection. We've heard him continue to sing the praises of a lot of the role players on this team. The last handful of games, it was Jay Crowder and Marjon Beauchamp. Tonight, you heard him have some high praise for Malik Beasley and Cameron Payne as well these last couple of games in what he's brought. But this is now yet another game where we've seen some adaptability and more different looks and more of a hybrid approach from Adrian Griffin. You're allowing Brook Lopez to play the way that he is most comfortable playing, but you're also sprinkling in some of these changes around him as well. When the Bucks fell behind in that fourth quarter, that's when we saw more traps and another 2-3 zone, which they used against the Brooklyn Nets as well. And the way they closed this game, we talked about that win in Brooklyn on Monday where you played Brook because you wanted to improve your rebounding. Then when it became clear we got to play a little bit smaller, you went to Bobby Portis. And then when Brooklyn was just spreading you out across the perimeter and it became even more clear, we got to get out to the three-point line more, you brought in Pat Connaughton. Tonight, the different look was Cameron Payne closing this game, playing all 12 minutes in the fourth quarter and sharing the floor with Damian Lillard for a large part of that fourth quarter. As we heard from Griff after the game, the reasoning there, number one, this was a very guard-heavy team that the Pistons were throwing out there. With Isaiah Stewart out there, with Jalen Duren out there, sure, but all the damage was being done on the perimeter. That was part of it. The other big part was you wanted Damian Lillard freed up off the ball so he could work himself open, and Cameron Payne gave you that ability to be another ball handler running the offense. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Another win and another big fourth quarter for Damian Lillard. We'll dive into some of his fourth quarter numbers after this on Bucks Talk. 120 to 118 is the final score here as the Bucks come back and eventually hold off the Detroit Pistons. So the Bucks are 5-2 on the season. In a first seven-game stretch where nothing has looked pretty. The best this team has looked were parts of that Knicks game, and especially the defensive parts that we saw. The offense looked better on opening night against the Philadelphia 76ers, and overall, the way the team won that game, that's your best win of the season. Between that and the fact that that is the only game the 76ers have lost all season. They currently sit atop the East at 6-1. It hasn't been pretty, but you're 5-2. And stacking these wins, putting wins in the bank, as you're going to start to get to a more difficult schedule in the second half of the season, we would hope by the time that schedule comes around, all of these chemistry things that we've touched on, the issues with developing that chemistry, knowing where your teammates are going to be on the floor if you're Giannis, more of that defensive connectivity and just learning both sides of the ball under a new coach, the hope is by the time you reach that part of the schedule, and really by the time you come out of the All-Star break, you would hope to be there, where this team is more rounded into form and looking like the group we all expected them to be in late September when you heard the news that Damian Lillard was acquired. But it's going to take some time to get there. And I think it's very clear through these first seven games, this team is a long way away from there. But if you can bank these wins in the meantime and at least stay towards the top of that conference, I think the big thing is how we've seen some of these teams start the season thus far. You just don't want to dig yourself a hole considering you haven't hit the meatiest part of your schedule yet. And again, there are going to be more downs. You are going to take some of these lumps. Some of these games that you're fighting through and these gritty wins, as Adrian Griffin has labeled them, you're not going to complain with that. But some of these games are going to start to go the other way eventually as well. So getting these wins now is very important because, look, Sixers, as we mentioned, are off to a terrific start. The Boston Celtics have some similar issues to that, though they don't have quite as many moving parts. Similar issues to that, I mean, what the Bucks are going through. Joe Mazzulla's in his second year, so the whole coaching change, that part isn't there. And scheme-wise, Celtics made some changes last year, but it wasn't quite as wholesale as what the Bucks are going through this season. And that core, I know you got rid of Marcus Smart. Robert Williams is gone as well. But Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are a huge part of that team, and Derek White. And that group has been together now for years and years. So that's the big difference. Yes, Giannis, Brooke, and Chris have been together for 5-plus years here in Milwaukee. But Damian Lillard has not. And Damian Lillard is a huge, huge part of this offense. Malik Beasley is going to be a big part of this team on both ends of the floor as well. He has not. So those are what we mean when we say these changes and why it's going to take time. But look at what's going on in Cleveland. And again, it's very, very early. We are 10% of the way through this schedule. Cavs are 3-5, and if the season were to end today, they would not even be in the play-in tournament. This is a team that certainly expects to make the playoffs. I think some people even had the Cavaliers pegged as, you know, if you told me it wasn't the Bucks or the Celtics that won the conference in the regular season, who would that third team be? Maybe you believed in Joel Embiid and the Sixers. There weren't a whole lot of you. Cleveland was one of those names that jumped up quite a bit, and they've gotten off to a slow start this season. You got a lot of teams at 500. The Nets, the Raptors, the Knicks, the Heat. You got teams just above 500, the Hawks, who beat you, the Magic. And you got the Indiana Pacers, who you will see tomorrow night, who are 5-3 to start the season. So you're starting to see this logjam really in 4 through 10 in this conference. So that's why we say it's important to keep stacking these wins, even if they're ugly. I don't think it masks all the things this team needs to correct. It's evident what the issues are. And again, these issues are what's going to take time. Does that mean this defense, when we say time, Think about the All-Star break, somewhere around there when this team starts to round into form. Am I suggesting that means that we're going to see this defense be a top five defense, a top 10 defense, closer to what we saw for the last 5 years? No. The jury is still very much out on this defense. To me, the big thing we're looking at is the offense. And can this defense just get to be good enough? The offense is a big part of it, because I think the defense has certainly showed some issues so far. But the defense was much better in the fourth quarter tonight. The defense was much better later in the game against the Brooklyn Nets on Monday. The defense was much better against the New York Knicks, and especially in the fourth against the Knicks last Friday. So it showed you those signs of an ability to pull it together when it matters. You just need this offense to start to get closer and closer to the group that we all thought it would be. Because, look, the shooting numbers have not been pretty thus far for Damian Lillard. But if some of those threes early in the game go down, this is a much different game. Not just today against the Brooklyn Nets, against the Knicks. In all seven of these games this season, it's a much different game when these shots start to fall for Damian Lillard. He has not been efficient so far this season. But he would be the first to point out, he's gotten off to a slow start in quite a few seasons. It's just kind of his thing. And I think there's a whole lot more to add to it with Damian Lillard this season. Everything he's been going through this summer. Didn't get to put in the usual work that he does in a given offseason because of the ambiguity over what his situation was going to be. The same ties to Giannis as well, who wasn't cleared to start running until a couple of weeks before the preseason began. And then, oh, by the way, these two need to figure each other out and build up and develop some of that chemistry. That's what the offense is facing right now, but the offense is still that area that you look at and say, it's not there yet. It's nowhere close to there yet. The spacing has still been an issue. And again, I think that has a whole lot to do with chemistry and this team just not knowing those things that are second nature when you've played together for years or played in a system for years. But the offense is the area you would point to and say, it's not there yet, but this is the area where we are going to start to see some improvement. To me, the defense is just, can it be good enough? It's the same conversation we've had about Malik Beasley. You don't expect him to be Drew Holiday. Can he just be an adequate defender? And so far, I think he has. I think he has been a capable and willing defender. Not the best defender on the team, but I don't think Malik Beasley has been the worst, and I don't think he has been to the level of the reputation that preceded him coming into the season. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. When we come back, I mentioned the 18 that Damian Lillard scored in the fourth quarter tonight. We will take a look at Damian Lillard's fourth quarter numbers so far this season, seven games in, because that is what jumps off the page the most. We'll look at the numbers after this on Bucks Talk.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
120 to 118 final. The Bucks take down the Detroit Pistons tonight in another big Damian Lillard fourth quarter. Let's jump to the phone lines and hear from you. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. We start things with Will I Am. What's going on, Will?
Hey, Justin, how you doing, man? What a win. Oh, man, I got three little points here. First off, shout out to our team for not quitting. One of the biggest things that I love about this team, trying to find identity, we spoke about it the last time we were on air. The end of the game, we said it, I told you, doesn't matter what the score is, I always think there's a chance that we're going to pull it out. And that grit that we showed at the end, can't beat that. Secondly, I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to knowledge. I don't know when the last time I've seen in a professional sports game a back-to-back-to-back travels, something that definitely caught me off guard, you know, a little rarity out there. And then lastly, that final sequence where they couldn't get the layups to go down, and then to see Brooke just rain down that three, poetic justice, man. This game had so many questions, confused me, and then to see us just pull it out with all that will at the end, go Bucks, man. I can't be prouder. Can't be happier. Incredible.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Will. It wasn't pretty, but I'm going to stand by. Just win. You know, like as this team starts to figure things out, that's what's important because you don't want to fall too far behind in the Eastern Conference, which may end up being closer than we thought. The Boston Celtics lost tonight to the 76ers. So for all of the positive talk that we've had about the Boston Celtics throughout this season already, and look, I still would expect the Celtics to finish the regular season with a better record than the Bucks because they're not onboarding quite as much as the Bucks are. It's still a very, very talented team that the Celtics have as well. So if you tell me the Celtics finish the season with the best record in the East, I'm not going to be shocked, and it's what I'm going to expect. I'm curious to see how much longer this lasts in Philadelphia. They've got a good coach in Nick Nurse, and it seems like they've added more pieces that make sense now around Joel Embiid and letting Tyrese Maxey kind of take off and continue to develop. So that's a team that's probably not going to go away either. With that in mind, you just don't want to start to fall behind and get stuck in the pack with those teams that we mentioned, like the Pacers, like the Cavs if they start to turn it on. The Miami Heat are still lurking there as well. There's a lot of teams around 500. So if you can keep winning, because look, I know the Bucks lost in the first round last year. I know you can't take anyone for granted. But all of what we just said, I'm still going to assume, and I know that's a deadly thing to do, I'm going to assume the Boston Celtics will finish as your one seed. I think if you're the Bucks, it is imperative to finish second or third this season because you don't want that matchup in the second round. Yeah, you got to get to the second round a year removed from losing in the first round. But it's all about the path that you put in front of you. And 4-5 is traditionally the most difficult first-round matchup. So you don't want it for that reason. Reason number two, you draw the one seed in the second round of the playoffs. So to me, the importance of these wins is so you can avoid finishing fourth in a conference that may be tougher and tighter than we anticipated coming into the season. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. Let's talk with Justin in North Carolina. What's going on, Justin?
Hey, buddy. This is a strong win. I agree with a lot of the stuff that Will.i.am said before me. The big thing I want to point out is just the way that different guys step up at different times. Bobby Portis in the second quarter, Malik Beasley with his defense and his heads-up play at the end. Jay Crowder, man, what a year with him being rested and actually fully being a part of camp. He shows he still has a lot left in his tank. And I'm a little different than you, Justin. I'm not worried about anybody in the East and the West right now. I feel like the only team that can beat the Milwaukee Bucks is the Milwaukee Bucks.
Look, I mean, I like the confidence, and I think we're aligned on this. I get uncomfortable seeing some of the rush to judgments that we already have out there, that I'm not making any broad assumptions about this team or any team 6 or 7 or 8 games into the season, and especially with this team. I get if you're concerned over, man, why isn't this, it's 5-2, but I'm going to guess their expected win-loss after this is going to be 2-5. It was 2-4 coming into the game tonight, so that's not great. And the optics of these wins have not been spectacular. I get raising an eyebrow at that and saying, well, I thought Damon Giannis would kind of be unstoppable. What's going on here? But I just keep coming back to, you didn't have Chris Middleton for any of this game tonight. You haven't had Chris Middleton for more than 21 minutes in any of the previous 5 games he had played in this season. And it wasn't until the last 2 games where we saw Chris Middleton close the game for this team. We've seen it with our own eyes, not just this season, but in years past, just how important he is. But I think this season, we've seen how much better he's looked and how important he is going to be as the third option on this team, something he hasn't had the luxury of being before. And Adrian Griffin saying how important he is to this group and that he's the glue to this team that makes his teammates better. He can be a secondary ball handler. He can hit shots. He's looked better and more fluid defensively this season. So not having him for essentially half of your game has been big too. I don't think we can really start to get any high-level judgments and opinions on this team until you get more of a sample size of Chris Middleton playing his standard minutes.
No, for sure. But not only that, we're right now we're getting, I think, D-plus, C-minus Giannis and Dame together.
Yeah.
Once we get into that B or A-level Giannis or Dame, we're really going to take off. And I'm agreeing with you. I think we're going to get to about the All-Star break. Everything's going to kind of come together, like the first time when we acquired Drew Holiday and everything kind of came together. So I'm just excited. I think the best is in front of us. And, man, I just, you know, look forward to your post-game show. Look forward to talking Bucks all year. And, you know, I could you give Dick in Port Washington before I go that Jordan Nwora box score? Because I know he's probably chomping at the bit with his wife waiting for it. No.
Well, look.
All right, Justin, I'm going to go. But keep it up, bro.
See you, Justin. We better hear from Dick tomorrow with his guy Jordan Nwora playing the Bucks as a member of the Indiana Pacers. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight as Dame Lillard goes off once again with an 18-point fourth quarter. We'll take a look at his fourth quarter splits after this on Bucks Talk. To 118, the final score tonight. The Bucks take down the Detroit Pistons in another incredible fourth quarter from Damian Lillard. So we have seen Dame in a Bucks uniform for 7 games. He has scored 64 points in the fourth quarter alone of those 7 games. He's shooting 47% from the field in the fourth quarter only, 47% shooting from Damian Lillard. And look, the three-point shooting is the area that you would point to not just in the fourth quarter, but all season long is the area of when is this number going to start to increase? I think soon, as we went over a couple of times. Damian Lillard has traditionally not been a fast starter throughout his NBA career. It's taken some time. Now, if you just review the splits on a month-by-month basis, you'd look at the numbers and say, well, I don't really see a difference here. Damian Lillard was the first to point out, it takes me some time to get going. And I think if you look at the splits and you see pretty consistent, maybe the shooting percentages and the efficiency numbers dip a little bit in October and November, it more speaks to how quickly he comes on towards the end of that month and into December to start to round things out even more so. But so far this season, he is averaging just under 23 points per game. He's only shooting 40% from the field. And overall, he's shooting 33% from three, which seems like it's a little higher compared to what we've seen. In those fourth quarters, I mentioned how much it changes for Dame. 47% from the field, 32% from three, 93% at the free throw line in the fourth quarter. The Bucks as a team are getting to the free throw line quite a bit. In the fourth quarter alone, Giannis and Dame have taken 50 free throw attempts. Dame's played 7 fourth quarters. Giannis has only played 6 with this ejection. Jay Crowder is next in line with 7. And then a handful of guys. Brooke Lopez has taken 2. Cameron Payne has taken 2. Chris Middleton, Malik Beasley, Marjon Beauchamp, Robin Lopez has attempted 2 free throws, and A.J. Green with 1 free throw attempt. You're at 70 free throws attempted by the Bucks in the fourth quarter of games this season, and 50 of those have come from Giannis and Dame Lillard, 28 alone from Dame. 26 of 28 at the free throw line in the fourth quarter. And just for context, when we look at overall free throws, Damian Lillard has taken the second most free throws in the league this season. 70 free throw attempts, 65 makes. Kevin Durant is tops with 73 attempts and 61 makes. Damian Lillard, though, with 70 free throw attempts, and Giannis is fourth. So between he and Dame, 134 free throw attempts this season between that duo. The 28 free throw attempts that Damian Lillard has taken in the fourth quarter alone would put him 50th in the NBA in free throw attempts this season. So it hasn't been pretty so far for Dame Lillard. We get that. It's going to take time. And again, I think it may take even more time than usual, just given how unique the offseason was for Damian Lillard. The fact that, as he said, he's gotten off to slow starts in Portland. There wasn't a whole lot of change in Portland through the years, save for some of the teammates that have come and gone all those years in Portland. 9 years that he played under Terry Stotts and ran the same offensive system. With Chauncey Billups for the last couple of seasons, they used a lot of the same principles, some changes that are in place, but a lot of the same teammates as well. Damian Lillard has been the constant. Damian Lillard has asked to go through a lot of change so far this season. And again, the offense is going to take time. I think everybody assumed that was just defense only of, yeah, I get some of the concerns there are defensively with this team. It's going to take time. The defense is going to take time. But Giannis and Dame, those two should be able to just destroy guys. We'll roll off the balls, and this team will win. It's not going to be the case. It's both sides of the floor. Just some of the little things I think we've already seen. I think you have seen it start to clean up a little bit when you see Giannis getting the ball and a couple of times in the first two or three games of the season where you would see turnovers, where Giannis just instinctively passes the ball to a spot, doesn't have a teammate there. Because this isn't the same system that you were running all those years. You got to kind of break those habits and get used to this. That's what's going to take time offensively and figuring out better spacing too. Because it has been less than ideal 7 games into the season, especially that two-man game between Giannis and Dame. It's all part of the process that's going to take time for this team. But as much as Damian Lillard, I've heard a lot of it already, hasn't been the guy that you expected to get yet. He has been that guy in the fourth quarter, and especially in 3 games in the fourth quarter. 3 wins for the Bucks right there. 5-2, and again, I mentioned, expected win-loss so far for the Bucks is 2-5. In other words, by the numbers, when we look at how they shot the ball, we look at the shots their opponents got, all the metrics you can pull from a game, what the data tells us is of these 7 games played, Bucks should have won 2 of them. Those 3 games where you look at and say, man, that should have been a loss. All 3 of those games were games where Damian Lillard had huge, huge games. The point production in the fourth quarter. 18 tonight for Damian Lillard. 64 points scored total through fourth quarters this season. He had 18 tonight. He had 15 against the Philadelphia 76ers. He had 13 the other night in that win against the Knicks. So right there alone, 46 of those 64 fourth quarter points in just 3 games. 15 points that he averaged in the fourth quarter in those matchups. That's why you go out and you get a Damian Lillard for all of those reasons. The way he can close games and the free throw shooting. Because even when he didn't have it tonight, 26-28 at the free throw line in the fourth quarter and 65-70 at the line in games overall, even when he hasn't had the shot. He's had the ability to drive and get fouled and get to the free throw line or to make himself available for a foul. If we're going to call it grifting when it's James Harden and people that aren't on the Bucks that we aren't rooting for, we'll call it making yourself available for a foul when it is our own teammate in Damian Lillard. 855-616-1620, the number to join us. Just a couple of minutes left on the show. When we come back, quick turnaround tomorrow. We'll take a closer look at the Indiana Pacers and night 2 of the back-to-back as the Bucks hit the road tomorrow night. We'll preview the matchup next on Bucks Talk. About a few minutes here on the program as the Bucks hold off the Detroit Pistons tonight, and they're 5-2 on the season, and that is, to me, your big takeaway from the night. It hasn't been pretty. These have not been style wins. There's a lot to clean up. The defense has been a liability overall. As we mentioned, it has stepped up. It stepped up tonight in the fourth quarter. It stepped up late in the fourth quarter in Brooklyn. It stepped up against the New York Knicks. Overall, it's not to the level you want it to be at, but it showed some subtle signs of getting better. Damian Lillard and Giannis have been far from what you would expect so far this season as well. That chemistry is going to take time for the two of them to get on the same page. But through all of that, you're still 5-2. And there's still certainly plenty of room for improvement. It would be one thing if the offense looked great, the defense wasn't there. You're 6-1, you're 5-2, and you say, hey, half of the ball looks exactly like we were hoping it would. The other half needs some improvement, but hey, we're winning. That's all that matters. And you would let some of those other areas kind of cloud things. It's been ugly, and there's nowhere to go but up for this group, but you're still gutting out those wins. Griff called it a gritty win a couple of times after the game tonight. And look, the other takeaway that I've had is we've seen that adaptability from Adrian Griffin. And I have seen and heard people criticize how quickly he's been willing to move off of some of what he installed and wanted to do. Well, they've moved back to some of it. And you can say, I don't think you have the personnel to play this system that he wants to play. Maybe that's the case. I don't think you can make that assumption after just 6 or 7 games, but we may ultimately find that to be the case. But the same people that are telling you it's a bad sign that Adrian Griffin is already backpedaling or already changing some of these things that he's done and willing to cave on this and change things up, it's the same group of people by and large that for the last 5 years, or 3 years especially, would tell you all they wanted was for their coach to adapt more, to change more, to do some things differently. And now that we see it, it's a bad thing. It's going to get better. But getting these gritty wins, figuring out how to win as a group, because a handful of guys on this team have experienced winning together and winning at the highest level together. They had been through those moments. They had been through those playoff battles. The entire group is not, and they haven't been through it together. And it's one thing to win in this league, but it's another thing to win as a group and to know what to expect from your teammates, to know where those guys are going to be, to know what you can count on. This group isn't there yet, but they're starting to figure it out, and wins like this are important in building all of that. So for me, I'm going to take the 5-2 and say there's still plenty of room for improvement, but I'd much rather be 5-2 and know some of these wins the Bucks may have backed into and shouldn't have gotten. But we still have those 5 wins in the bank. And that's only going to portend even better as this season progresses and this team gets better. That's the important part, and that's the positive takeaway from this, because Damian Lillard is going to look better. Damian Lillard is going to hit more three-pointers. He is going to become more efficient. Giannis, I would say the same for as well, and that duo is going to look even better as a group. We saw one time in this game late where the Bucks ran that horn set where you bring two bigs up at the top and let Damian Lillard get downhill. That's going to become more and more common, and everything is going to start to fall in place even more. It's not there yet, but you've still found a way to win 5 of the 7 games despite this group not looking just yet as we thought they would. Tomorrow night, they head to Indianapolis to take on the Pacers. It is a 6 o'clock tip-off. 5:30 is when our pregame coverage will begin. That should be another fun one, a back-to-back for both of these teams. Pacers just a half game back of the Bucks as well. And as always, after the game, be sure to stick around for Bucks Talk. My thanks to everybody for tuning in and interacting with the show, and to Matt Slosler for producing the show. Talk to you tomorrow night with more Bucks Talk.